Yes. So, by the way, as we start, let's talk about a little bit kind of how the schedule is going to work for the next couple weeks.
Yes.
We are not going to be on next Thursday.
Nope.
Because on Friday morning, me and him are driving to Brooklyn. We will be doing some podcasts. I was thinking 2 to 3, probably. One on the way there, one on the way back, maybe one with Fred.
Yep.
So we won't be live on Periscope for the next couple of Thursdays. We're going to post maybe 2 of them in 1 week, or maybe one and one and one and one, and take a small break.
Yeah.
I would like to do kind of a review of SummerSlam, so we might get together and do that.
Yeah.
And sure. Pair that on to one of those real quick. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Post drunken NXT show.
Yeah, we're going to be.
That sounds delightful.
We're going to be drunk talking about wrestling at the wrestling venue.
Yes.
It's going to be fantastic.
I can't wait.
So I have a cheers.
Yes.
It's actually, cheers. This comes from Rob from WNA Podcast.
Oh, nice.
Because the last few weeks, the PWO chat room has been a little quiet.
I think
a lot of people have, you know, a lot of stuff going on in their lives, which, understandable. It's what we all do. But he popped in real quick, and it almost made me tear up a little bit.
You want me to read it for the first time so I can read it?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
You read it.
Hope everyone is doing great. Hope your families are good. Hope your money is right. Hope your spirits are high. Hope your souls are fulfilled. Hope your cups never run dry. Hope your plates are full. Hope life is what you want it to be until we chat again. Thanks, guys. Rob, we appreciate it. Here at SmartBot, we love you guys at WNNA. PWO, get it.
For life.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages,
Podcast World Tour
proudly brings to you Tag Team Champion of the World,
Leo Mayweather,
Joshua Brown.
What an ovation, the fans on their feet.
Spot Podcast.
Now, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Cheers, good brother. Too sweet.
Too sweet. Oh. That didn't come out very well.
Oh. Speaking of too sweet.
Yes.
The thing I geeked out most about this week, did you see Roman throw the too sweet out of camera?
No.
To Finn.
Oh, wait. Yes, I did. Yeah.
The camera didn't catch it, but he threw him the too sweet.
He did. That was awesome.
Too fucking sweet, Roman. That's awesome.
Too sweet, bro. Too sweet.
It's so funny how he's gone from being, like, very polarizing to... There's not a whole lot of boo birds right now. I know the...
They're there, but...
The feud he's in, his cheers are much louder now.
Yes, I feel like on Monday Night Raw, especially, that we saw a different side of the crowd, which was really nice to see for Roman Reigns. Roman was very... He got a lot of pops and cheers. And I think they booked Roman perfectly this entire episode of Raw.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I can see. I know some people were frustrated that he was in like two matches, but I get it. Who's going to come to Seth Sade? Not Tyler Breeze. I mean, he wanted to, but.
You mean CrossFit Breezes?
CrossFit Breezes. It was beautiful.
That was amazing.
Poor Breeze. He needs Dango back.
Right. Well, they're taking up his time for whatever they can with him.
Oh, yeah, they're getting him on TV, which is good. So.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the better version of R-Truth on Raw. He's like the Raw's version of R-Truth.
Oh, but he's not, you know, 20 years deep into the game.
Who cares, man? R-Truth probably going to go until he's like Ric Flair age.
Probably.
Still dropping that freaking split bomb.
It'll just get more fantastic.
Yes.
I feel like R-Truth has actually become pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, he's so cool right now. I'm loving some R-Truth.
And it's funny that Ty Dillinger is now his bro.
I think it's good for both of them. I think they can work on this. It would be nice to see him tag in a couple matches.
It would be,
which yeah. I'm sure we will see. All right, so Leo got this. Dragons and Yum-Yums. Mm-hmm. The Flaming Lips? What?
Yeah.
What is this? pale ale brewed with dragon fruit and yum berry, passion fruit, pear, and black carrot juices. All
right. Yeah, right.
Fruited beer.
Fill me up that, brah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
what are you saying?
I was going to say, anybody who's never listened to Spark Spot before, check this out on Periscope. Mm-hmm. We got five pillars about our podcast. We're going to run through them real quick. Five pillars of Spark Spot. W for wrestling. Boom. We're a wrestling podcast. W for weird, because we kind of do it weird. B for beards, because we are both big, balded, bearded beauts. Mm-hmm. Beer. The other B is for beer, because we drink good craft beer on this show. And P is for positivity, because we like to bring a little positivity to the world, especially in wrestling and in the world. So we're here for a good time and to be positive about it. And we appreciate you joining in on it and having a good time with us as well.
Especially in the new camera angle.
Yeah. the slendering angle.
Yeah.
We look so much sexier
so
from
much
this angle.
Sexier, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I have to shave my head every now and then. Cheers, brother.
Cheers. Oh, man.
Well, that's different.
Right?
It's very thirst quenching.
It is.
Dragons and yum yums from Dogfish Head out of Delaware.
Yep.
Just jumping all over the world.
Hell yeah. Why not?
Why not? Did Fred know anything about other half when I said that, or did you?
I texted him. He never texted me back.
Okay. All right. Well,
Fred.
That's like my one thing.
Well, we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
My customer's the Brooklyn Zoo. I should hit them up, but I don't think we have time to go to the zoo.
Nah, probably not.
No. It's going to be a zoo anyway.
I think Fred's going to try to take us out as soon as we get there.
Oh, God, we're going to be in trouble.
No, we're going to be good boys.
Yes, we are.
We're going to be good brothers and good boys.
Good brothers. Speaking of good brothers.
Yeah.
There's a new good brother. Did you see?
What?
Anderson had his hot Asian wife had their fourth baby.
No way.
Cash Anderson. Is that not the greatest name ever?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was watching his Instagram. He was taking her to the hospital yesterday to have a C-section, and then he posted today.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, so Cash more good brothers in the world. He's got four boys.
Wow. He can make a little wrestling group right there.
I know. He's got himself the next generation of the Bullet Club. Between awesome. Him, AJ's kids, and then I guess Gallows has a boy, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So. That would be awesome to see them come up in 20 years. Like,
well, it happens all the time in wrestling.
Right?
It's definitely a family business.
Super generational.
Like the Rhodes brothers. And speaking of which, on a more somber note, we talked about we lost some wrestlers in the last week. Nikolai Volkoff, Brian Christopher. I didn't realize Brian Christopher was the son of Jerry Lawler.
You didn't?
No, and I actually didn't know how he passed.
Oh.
I guess he hanged himself in jail.
Yeah.
But I guess Jerry Lawler came out and said, and actually Wretched was where I saw this feed pop up, so kudos to you guys, posted about how Jerry Lawler's kind of questioning whether or not he was actually committed suicide or if it was kind of staged.
What?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I don't know any details around it. And I said there was a third person that we lost, and I feel bad for forgetting their name last week, but it was Brickhouse Brown.
That's right, yeah.
Who never made it into the WWE, but he definitely was a guy in the regions. I know he was in, he wrestled all over Texas, Mid-South. So, but I just wanted to touch base on him, too. I guess he wasn't very old either. I don't even think he was 50.
Wow.
So,
that's crazy.
Cheers to the loss of those wrestlers. Rest in peace. Hopefully we don't lose any more for a long time.
Make sure to kick out at 2.
Speaking of which, I was listening to this week's Something to Wrestle With, and Bruce Pritchard was talking about the story of Brickhouse Brown. I guess he had terminal cancer, and he was supposed to die like 4 or 5 days before he actually died, and I guess he flatlined. Everybody was saying their goodbyes. And I guess his mother didn't want to quite let go of him yet. Mm-hmm. And I guess all of a sudden he just opened his eyes and he was like, I'm hungry.
What?
So he kicked out of like 2 3/4.
Oh, wow.
And then he hung around for another like 3 or 4 or 5 days before he passed again.
That's kind of like cool.
False finish, man.
Yeah.
Nothing like a wrestler to pull a false finish and be like, nope, not yet.
Nope, I'm hungry.
But yeah. rest in peace to those three, and hopefully we don't have to hear about the loss of any more professional wrestlers for a good long time.
Yes.
Especially those as young as Brickhouse and Brian.
Yeah, man, they were young.
It's brutal. So, shall we get started?
Are you asking to get down?
I'm asking to get down, dirty, and
raw!
We were born for greatness.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Brock,
you're hurting me. You're hurting me. That hurts, Brock. Brock.
You're hurting me.
You're hurting me.
You're hurting me.
Brock, stop it, Brock. Oh, my God. Oh, man, that was almost as good as the...
The Shane McMahon. Oh, man.
Oh, it was so good.
I missed that. I had it.
He just had him by his chubby cheeks. He's like, Brock, what are you doing?
You're hurting me.
Awesome. Poor Paul Heyman, man.
Can we go ahead and talk about that since we're talking about it?
Sure, we're in Raw. Let's do it.
Yeah. So what did you think about his interview with Renee Young backstage?
Oh, it was so uncomfortable.
It was so good because we get it. It's professional wrestling.
Yeah,
we understand
it's sports entertainment.
But I really felt like Paul Heyman was like scared of his life. Like he's like, we can't even be talking about this right now. Like looking at the production guys, like, well, guys, Brock's gonna get even angrier than he already is. I'm like, oh my God.
He's like, he shut off his phone. He won't talk to me through intermediaries. And he's just looked like he was like the devastated woman in a relationship that the man just took off and left her.
It looked like he had been drinking a bottle of Jack before he even went to that interview.
Yeah, and he was so emotional.
Man,
yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah, it was so ramped up, the level of just nonsense, like Paul Heyman at his peak.
Yeah.
And he was being interviewed by Renee, who, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Next week, first time ever,
Renee Young,
special guest host of Monday Night Raw.
I think they're going to be prepping her to do commentary for Evolution,
which was what we kind of were talking about already. Mm-hmm. That she needs to be there.
WWE
this guy
is
this
listening.
Guy.
Listen,
this guy. Yeah,
they're listening.
Oh, I'm so excited! I can't wait for Raw next week.
I know it's gonna
so
be
it's
awesome.
Her, Cole, and Graves, right?
Yep.
So she's gonna be playing the babyface role.
Mm-hmm.
She'll do better than Coachman.
Oh, absolutely.
Right as DX asks, what's your opinion on Coach's commentary? Coach is like 50-50 for me, to be honest, just personally. I haven't asked Leo, but I think sometimes he's excellent, and then sometimes he says the most dumb statements.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he gets caught up in the moment, and he doesn't know what to say, so he says just kind of like freewheels it, I guess.
Yeah.
And sometimes it comes off a little bit cringeworthy, but I will say... He's certainly better than freaking, who's our favorite boring-ass commentator who is so incredibly awesome and has his shirt open really big.
I'm a lawyer. My name is David Otunga.
I knocked up Jennifer Hudson.
And I'm very charismatic when I'm talking.
I bet David Otunga in person's awesome.
I'm sure he is. He's just a terrible commentator.
But they turn on the mic and he's like... What do I do with my hands?
He just doesn't seem very comfortable.
David Otunga? 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 Wrestling? Wrestling?
Oh, David.
Yeah.
I don't even want him on the pre-show.
It's really tough, I feel like, to do the three-man... commentary
team. It has to be the perfect equation of people,
yeah,
or the types of people.
I think the SmackDown chemistry is better, but because I just think the three of them get each other better.
Yeah.
And I think they just haven't found that right foil for Graves, or I guess the, what's the opposite of a foil?
Parchment paper?
Dun-dun. Like the good version of a foil, right? So I guess he would still be a foil, but like you need somebody who's as good as Graves against Graves.
Yeah.
And I think Saxon plays that role much better than Coachman does,
mm-hmm.
or even Booker does.
Well, Coachman seems like he's trying to throw like puns from sports mixed in with
Yeah, he brings constantly. Kind of the real element. He brings a certain, you know, kind of like Mauro Ranallo in a different way.
Yeah.
But he comes from a real world of sports, so he brings a little bit of a pedigree with him. Mm-hmm. And I do think Coachman is best when he does that. I think he's at his worst when he's grasping for straws and says some pretty ridiculous stuff.
I like when he messes up because Corey's always there to like dog on him.
Well, and that's the greatness of Corey Graves. I mean, he holds up both commentary teams to a level that I don't think they would be at if he wasn't there. He definitely is better than JR was.
Yes. And that's why he's on both shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wish they would show him like his face more often, just when he's so disgusted, like
when he's
like sitting at the desk, just like listening to freaking.
It's whenever they talk about Sasha Bailey. It's when, remember, especially on this week on SmackDown, when Byron Saxton revealed that he gets to interview the Miz. Yes,
that's what I'm talking
his
about.
His face was priceless. He like, threw his pen. Like, come on, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
And then he dogged him on his intro. Ah, man. Corey Graves is incredible.
Yeah.
I know it's terrible that he lost his ability to be a professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, he really has found his calling. I don't know if he would have ever realized he would have been this good of a announcer.
Did he pick up a new, like, a second job recently?
I don't know. Maybe. Like,
did he get a time travel teleporter, went back to the 80s in Miami Vice Tuesday night?
Oh, I don't know.
Did you see his outfit?
Yes. Like all white.
All white suit with the sleeves rolled up. Oh, man.
It was pretty awesome.
Only he could pull it off.
Yeah, he's incredible and such a good player for WWE and everything they do.
Yes, agreed.
But what do you think about this intro? Let's talk about the opening of Raw.
Okay. I loved it.
I thought it was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
It was different than... You know, Raw has been very good, I feel like, especially when they're doing their best about switching up the beginning of Raw. Like, they can really fall into their old little routine. They bring out the authority figure, which they did this time.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, Roman comes out, and it kind of switches the what they're going to do, because he basically interrupts, which leads to them announcing Baron Corbin versus Roman Reigns for the... Like, right now.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great, because it kind of gave a little bit of like a FU to Baron Corbin from Kurt Angle, because Kurt Angle's sick of his shit.
Mm-hmm.
Sick of Kurt Angle. Sick of Corbin always in his like back pocket, like screwing him over.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're just here to make matches. I'm here because for Stephanie. He's like, you know what? I am here just for matches. I'm about to make a match right now. I just thought it was well done, which led to, I thought, was a really adequate, decent performance by the two of those guys. I thought they put on a much better match than Joe and Roman Reigns put on the last time they wrestled.
Yeah, agreed.
The deep six was a stretch for him trying to deep six Roman. It was the first time that was like...
He hit it,
but I was worried for him for a minute.
He got the full rotation. He had it all going.
It was just not as high as he normally gets on people.
What I enjoyed the most, though, was at the very beginning when Kurt came out, one of the first things he talked about was the main event of the night, which was going to be Ronda Rousey's first match on Raw with...
Alicia Fox.
And they played it out throughout the entire night that this was a big fucking deal, even on Alicia Fox's part.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about it was not only did Kurt jab at Baron, but he was jabbing at Brock the entire time. He's like,
oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, well, we have an MMA fighter that's willing to fight here every Monday.
Has no problem coming on Raw and fighting, because yeah. I haven't seen Brock wrestle on Monday Night Raw.
Not like years.
I haven't seen him personally ever wrestle on Monday Night Raw, because I didn't watch Raw when he was on the roster the first time.
Yeah.
And since he's been back, he has never participated on Raw.
No.
Other than to show up as an appearance. So.
Yep.
That was pretty good writing.
Yes, it was.
And it was good to see kind of Roman get back at Baron and Kurt to get a little bit at Baron. Yeah, kind of shoving it into his face. And then I thought the opening 30 minutes of Raw, which was basically this match in the intro.
Yeah, they gave him like 20 minutes for the match.
Yeah, and it was good. It was entertaining. I thought it was a really well-booked match. Corbin kind of being on top the whole time, doing his kind of brutish heel way.
It made him look good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Looked very strong. Lots of false finishes.
He kicked out of the Superman punch a couple times.
And Roman kicked out of two and a half, like two or three times.
There was one that was so
really
close.
He's getting really good at it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But everything kind of came to a head. Roman kind of turns over, gets control of the match, and it looks like, oh, here we go again. Roman's going to win, and Baron does the shithead heel thing, rolls out of the ring, is like, screw this. I'll take the count out and walk.
Yep.
But he gets about, I don't know, four steps up the ramp, and whose music hits?
Balor.
And I've never seen a giant man be so afraid of a little guy. Just a wee lad, Finn Balor.
He was so scared.
But he knew it was time to pay the piper.
Yep.
And he backed up, and he backed up, and he backed up, and he forgot there was a big dog behind him. Stupid Baron.
What's going to happen, Kurt, if the big dog's not here to protect his yard? Did you hear that line?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's awesome. He's such a... I freaking love Baron Corbin. He's becoming to be one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Just because he's so good at his job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't try to do anything, like, extra.
No.
He just owns his job. He owns his character. And just... That's it.
Yep.
Anyway, Roman gets him. And then he two sweets freaking Finn, which was awesome.
Yeah, the camera barely caught it, too.
Yeah. Finn's two sweeting him back. He gets him in the ring, hits him with the spear, wins.
And then Finn goes to town on Baron.
Well, yeah, Roman's like, hey, you want some of this? He rolls out. They fist pound each other. Finn gets in, hits him with the double drop kick, and then he hits him with the coup de grace. Fuck you, Corey Graves. Don't even say it. And then we out. Baron Corbin got his back. But this led to SummerSlam announcement.
Baron Corbin versus Finn Balor. Yes. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited about it.
I am too.
I didn't know where they were going to... I thought this was the only way to get Finn into a SummerSlam match.
Yeah.
Because he's not really in a title match right now.
Yeah.
Happy for it.
Where do you think it goes on the card? Where do you think it falls in place? Because I think we have a majority
early.
The matches early.
Yeah, I think it could be one early on,
like first hour,
first couple hours.
Yeah,
I mean, I think you're gonna have a really good solid match to start. Probably a title match of some sort. Maybe New Day versus Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah,
kick off the show.
Yeah,
which we'll get into. Like, kind of spoiler alert.
Well, my guess is
I don't think it's the first match.
It's not the first match.
No, no, no. I know it won't be the first match on SummerSlam, but it will be early on where it needs to be. I mean, it's not a super important match. It's just going to be a really entertaining match.
Yes.
And I think the two of them will put on a great show, and I'm super excited to see it. It's one of the more entertaining matches I think we'll see.
I'm getting pumped up, not just for the trip that we're taking to Brooklyn for SummerSlam weekend, but for SummerSlam in general. I'm stoked. I'm getting stoked for the pay-per-view.
I'm glad you are, because I'm having a little bit harder time getting so pumped up for it. There's a couple things I'm really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not as positive about it yet, and I'm trying to be there.
Yeah.
I'm getting there, but there are a couple things that I guess I'm just so unknown about. There's a lot of opportunity for WWE to screw this up, I guess, what I'm seeing.
So, give an example.
Like Roman Brock.
I think
Kevin Owens, Braun Strowman.
I think that one will be a lot better than we think.
Miz, Daniel Bryan.
That's going to be amazing. That's going to be amazing. Yeah.
I mean, I think it'll be a good match. I'm not really worried about the performances. I'm worried about how the booking angles go. And maybe I just need to just get over it and just be like, well, let's give them a little bit of faith.
Yeah. Because they usually do a damn good job, even with... At the time, booking.
You mean like building up Mojo Rawley for 3 weeks to get him to lose to the most awful babyface on the roster?
Yeah.
This week on Raw?
Even that, because...
That's what initially... Like, looking at that picture just reminded me, it was like, oh, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
Mojo Rawley's been on fire.
There's been a reason he's been on fire. I think they did this to swerve us, because next week, and I think the week after, and maybe the week after, and hopefully that's it, that Mojo's going to stay over on Bobby.
I don't know, man. Bobby Roode is just yawn-inducing.
Yeah, boring.
As a baby face. Boring. I really need him to turn.
Boring. Let's go to the next one.
Yes, let's do it. We'll get to that here in a little bit when we get outside of wrestling.
Do you know what WWE stands for?
Walk with Elias.
Yes, it does. And a new documentary after the documentary.
I haven't gotten to see it.
I haven't either.
I want to watch it. I'll watch it this weekend.
But Elias is making his own documentary because he didn't like the documentary that WWE made on the WWE Network.
Yes.
Which was incredible. I feel like every time, every week, Elias will turn something new up in his own old routine and make it super entertaining.
He's constantly evolving. You know who also does a fantastic job of that and have been doing it for years now?
Who's that?
The New Day.
Absolutely. Agreed.
But yeah, I mean, Miz too. I mean, the ones that stick around, they kind of stay the same, but they're constantly switching things up.
Mm-hmm.
Adjusting their character. That's how you stick around. That's how you stay like relevant. And he's doing a good job of it right now. And he's not really having to wrestle too much.
No, he's not. He doesn't have to do a lot of wrestling, period.
No, but he's a good wrestler. So I feel like they're kind of saving him for a big push at some point.
Yeah. But right now we have to get him and Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. Which is fine. I don't have a problem with this. Bobby Lashley needs a decent feud. Elias isn't in a feud right now.
Mm-hmm.
This might make Bobby Lashley a heel, though. Because I think with Elias being so over, Bobby Lashley's going to be the heel in this feud, even though Elias is traditionally a heel.
No one's going to root for Bobby Lashley in this.
No! Who would root for Bob?
No one.
No one!
Not even his mama or his three sisters.
Yeah, he needs to like wrestle Mojo Rawley more often. That might actually be a good match.
That would be a really good match.
Be high impact.
I'd rather see.
Although I don't know if Mojo can pull off those moves on Bobby Lashley.
They should switch that booking right now. Move Bobby Lashley against Mojo and move Bobby Roode against Elias.
Didn't they just do an Elias Bobby Roode thing?
Yeah, it was like one match.
It was terrible.
Yeah. But it made me root against Bobby Roode even more.
Yeah. Well, I think at the end of this little Bobby Lashley coming in and interrupting Elias,
mm-hmm.
I thought it elevated Elias.
Yeah.
And it immediately got people kind of some heat on Bobby Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
I love that he went to do the thing like this, and he like fist pumped, he like flexed real quick, and then he did, because Elias is a big dude.
Oh, during the suplex?
The suplex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish he would turn it into a jackhammer.
But I don't know why. Then he'd be Goldberg. Nobody does the jackhammer.
Why?
Because it's Goldberg's move. It's why the reason why you see a stunner like once every.
But everyone super kicks.
That's because super kick is like, I don't know. It's not even an important move now.
I know, which it kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's an awesome move.
It is.
I mean, there's a couple of people who finish with super kick. I mean, hell.
But if there's one person that could pull off a jackhammer, it would be Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, but I kind of like his standing suplex. It's different. Nobody else is doing it.
Yeah, I just find it boring, in my opinion. Well, yeah. That's just my opinion.
It's because you've been seeing suplexes your whole life.
Yes. And when they just stand there, like I will give them credit. That is a crazy athletic feat to hold a 290-pound dude full of bulk and then even flex while doing it.
Yeah.
But I just want to see higher impact.
Higher impact?
Mm-hmm.
Turn into some like neck breaker of some sort?
Yeah. Something.
Yeah, so I think it was a good intro to a feud that's going to get us there in 2 weeks.
Sure. How about this?
I fast-forwarded to this match.
Good. You didn't miss anything.
Titus O'Neil versus Rezar, and AOP's back on top. Because traditional baby tag team booking by Monday Night Raw. Oh, we got two tag teams feuding. Let's do singles matches. Yeah. 1 week, the one team will win. The next week, the other two will take each other on. The other team will win.
Lame.
Let's go to the pre-show.
Lame. It's pre-show material.
That's not even worthy of SummerSlam.
Nope, because we're going to get them in a tag team match probably on the pre-show. AOP is going to get over. Titus is not getting over.
5 minutes.
Yeah, it's maybe a squash match.
Yep.
No thanks. How about this next segment? So we find out that the Kevin Owens show is coming back. And his guest of the night is going to be Jinder Mahal. Because both Jinder Mahal and Kevin Owens hold a win over Braun Strowman.
Braun!
During the interview, we got to see the stage start moving. And you're watching it, you're like, oh, it's going to be Braun lifting him up, destroying things again. I'm one of the biggest Braun marks in the world. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah, it was so silly. Yeah. You could see the hinges on the, it was not the finest Braun Strowman feat of strength moment I've ever seen.
No. I want to see him tear down an entire building now, just because I've seen him.
I mean, ever since he brought down all the scaffolding on top of Kane,
mm-hmm.
Brock.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
That was awesome.
I was like, everything else has been kind of silly.
Yeah.
But I get it. He's got to continue to fuck up Kevin Owens as much as possible.
I'm excited to see this match, though. I am super stoked to see this matchup.
I'm excited for the match. I'm kind of over the buildup. Yes. I'm just like ready for it to happen.
I want to see. Yeah. Once they already.
I think they blew their load too early.
Yeah, they shouldn't have announced that it was going to be for the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, and this is kind of a first of a kind match. So, and like I said, I think there's a good opportunity Kevin Owens is going to win, probably with Jinder Mahal's help.
Probably, yeah. What else is Jinder Mahal doing besides being a guru?
God, can't believe I'm ready for that shit to be over with.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I mean, I love heel Jinder, but I didn't realize how much I loved heel Jinder compared to Shotty. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
Go back to being the angry 80s villain.
Please.
The Indian Shonuff.
Wearing your wrap around your face.
Get him a wrap. Get him some freaking shoulder pads. And
baby he's going to
start saying, kiss my Converse in Punjab. And we're good.
Get that man some baby oil and throw his aggressive nipples in the ring.
Aggressive nipples and back knee. Kill it. Next.
So, Seth Rollins throughout the night found out that he has a tag team match against Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. Throughout the night, he has to find a tag team partner, and he finally found one.
He did.
First one that was brought to his attention was, as we talked earlier, Tyler Breeze.
Breeze.
Making the tag team CrossFit Breezes.
CrossFit Breezes.
Please make that a t-shirt, WWE, because I'm sure everyone will buy it. So as he's talking to Tyler Breeze, Roman then comes into the side and says, hey, you need someone for the night? I got you. And completely just, they're like, fuck Tyler Breeze.
He's got his hand up, and Roman's like, everybody wants to be a part of this. He just puts his hand down.
He's like, no.
Poor Breeze.
Yeah, poor guy. So we figure out it's going to be, Roman Reigns going to be tagging with his Shield brother. I'm like, all right, I can deal with that. Then later on, we find out that Stephanie McMahon is talking to Constable Corbin, says he cannot wrestle in this match.
Yes, because they don't want to risk the title match.
Yes. That booking-wise makes perfect sense.
Yeah, No, it does.
I'm cool with it. Then fast forward to the match, it just turns into a handicap match.
It does.
What'd you think about it? What were your thoughts?
I wish it would have been Finn. He showed up for 2 seconds. Why didn't Finn just come out and wrestle with him?
Yeah.
That, in terms of like kayfabe, makes the most sense.
Yes.
Like, I will come back up Seth Rollins. I know he's a good dude. I'm a good dude. Like, I don't know. That's just what I was expecting to see. But then, of course, it turns into a... I mean, of course, Rollins is going to lose this match. It just kind of builds the... Beat the baby face down all the way to SummerSlam,
It was a fun match. I just don't think...
No, it was entertaining. It's just, I don't know. Handicap matches always kind of suck.
It wasn't necessary.
No, it wasn't. We see them wrestle every week, and I feel like we need to get a break from them for 2 weeks.
Yes.
So that we don't see them, and we really appreciate the match at SummerSlam.
We should have got...
They do this all the time where they...
Should have got promo battles this week, and then backstage brawls.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire...
Have McIntyre and Ziggler attack him while he's doing an interview.
Yep.
And that be it.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, everything with Kurt is, we'll settle it in the ring.
Kurt.
Yeah, poor Kurt.
Poor Kurt.
Yes, Jinder Mahal does look like an Indian Lionel Richie, but he acts like shown up.
Indian Lionel Richie. Awesome. Yes. Next on Raw. So we, I want to get your opinion about this.
Oh, it's fucking terrible. Don't even ask.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was the worst intro music I've heard. If CFO did that, they need to go back to the drawing board.
I highly doubt they did that. It sounded like they copied
that
and pasted.
That B-Team intro is trash. It's awful. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm usually the most positive person here, but
yes,
that is trash.
Yeah,
it was garbage. I thought their music was fine.
Their theme song's incredible.
Why switch it?
These battles yours. There you were, party. You were alive.
You might be the only person in the world that knows all the words to that. But it does. I don't know who just posted that. I think it was TX. Mm-hmm. It does fit into their gimmick, but man,
it's awful.
So bad. So bad.
Even Coach tried to sell it to the TV audience. Like, the crowd was really behind it and chant. Well, of course they were chanting. The song was just a chant. B-Team, B-Team, go, go, go. Something like that. It's awful.
B-Team, B-Team, no, no.
No, no. No. What are you thinking, B-Team?
Oh, my gosh. I'm not on the dark side.
No.
Speaking of dark side.
Oh! Dragon's milk for your bitch face.
Oh! It did. You know what? That's the problem. It did sound a little bit Spirit Squad-like, and that's not a good look.
Yeah.
We don't need that. I thought we moved past that, like...
The only person that's allowed to have a college, like, what would you call that? A college themes theme song?
Yeah.
Is JR. Coming out to Alabama's...
Oklahoma?
Or Oklahoma's.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Roll Tide! Jesus. He's the only person.
Well, yeah. Because that's JR's been... That's transcendent. It's been his forever, so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. I think, what'd you think of this little deal?
So, it was okay up until a point, because we got actually kind of a decent, like, mic off between the B-Team and the Revival. And I love hearing the Revival on the mic. They are fantastic at trying to tear people down. And
they're incredible.
Then you hear... And then you see the leaders of worlds in the middle of the match on both sides.
I thought that was cool.
You almost said cute.
I meant cool.
It was a Freudian slip.
It was very cute.
It was so cute.
So cute.
They just switched places.
I've never seen them before, but it was different.
It was cool. I will give it that. I don't know where this is leading to. And I think
Triple threat match?
Yeah. What else
could it be? Triple threat tag match. I mean, I don't see what else it could be.
But, well, here's the thing. We found out after the match, we're getting a title match on Raw next week for the tag team titles.
B-Team versus who? Revival?
No. I think the Leader of Worlds again. I think. Don't quote me on that. But I know we're getting one next week.
I don't know, Chad. Help us out.
So we're going to have two in a row? Or are we not going to have one at SummerSlam? Or is it going on the pre-show? 16
Revival
hours.
Needs to be on a big show.
Yeah, they haven't had any big matchups on a pay-per-view yet. Sad.
Yes.
As Corey would say, it's an injustice.
Injustice.
I don't know. We'll see what happens with it next week.
It's a triple threat, is what Chad's saying.
Triple threat match.
What? We got a super heart from Mama Brown 78. Thank you for the super heart.
Whoop, whoop. Booyah.
Appreciate that.
It's awesome. We talked about the Paul Heyman interview already.
Yeah, we can keep it moving. Keep it moving.
Can we keep it moving, please? Because this was literally, did we jump backwards into time and watch last week's?
I mean, it's a thing, so we probably should at least acknowledge it.
Okay. Sasha and Bayley had a tag team match against the Riot Squad. Riot Squad was beating them down, but then they got beat on the outside. And then Bayley was going for like a move from the top thing. And then a hooded person, random hooded person came and saved Liv Morgan. And who was it?
Ruby Riot. Oh, Ruby's back, everybody. Yay. Actually, I'm excited she's back.
I am very excited that she's
so
back.
So sick of Liv Morgan wrestling. She needs to be on the outside and let her and Sarah Morgan do all the wrestling.
I just want to see Ruby Riott versus Sasha over and over and over again. Yes. They have awesome matchups.
Sasha pretty much has awesome matchups with anybody she wrestles with.
Yeah, for the most part.
She brings out good matches in whoever she takes on.
I feel like they're really, really overplaying this whole Sasha Bayley thing.
I think they're just trying to build towards a tag division.
I think they're trying to get us to not care anymore so that some big turn happens and we're like,
they don't like each other again.
Oh!
Even the little crazy wiggly guys are sick of it. Did you see the one she had to unravel in the middle of her entrance?
That's always my favorite when that happens. Just got to like push it up.
That's what you get.
Oh, I hope that sometime in this feud between Sasha and Bayley, when it actually becomes a feud again, is that when she goes out for her entrance against her, like they're all slashed, so they look like they're dead, like floating around, and they're all wearing like Sasha Boss Banks glasses.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, they could pull that off somehow. That'd be super entertaining. So that's over.
Next,
Ruby Riott's back. Main event. What'd you think about Ronda Rousey versus Alicia Fox? Overall thoughts for her first match?
Cannon fodder before the match.
Yeah.
Big match.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think Alicia Fox had a chance in hell.
No.
We knew this was going to be just like a push for her. So, I mean, it was everything it needed to be.
She threw around like a fucking rag doll.
Yeah. It was good.
I was scared for Alicia Fox.
Mm-hmm. She's a big... She's a grown woman. She can handle her business.
Charlie Caruso, though, beforehand, giving the interview.
Hoosier. Did you say that? Did you go, that's real nice?
Real nice, Clark. Real nice. It was overall, you know, what I expected. Quick match. Building up to their match at SummerSlam. That's it. That was Raw.
Yeah, we got to see Alexa Bliss. We got to see Rhonda. We know what's on the line.
We got to see your favorite female superstar, Natalya, at ringside.
Can't wait. I love seeing Natalya. She's so awesome. She's got the best ring gear of any WWE wrestler of all time. It's fantastic. I love the cat ears.
Yeah, the swamp ass, you know.
Cat ears, swamp ass. Is that a cattywampus?
Cattywampus, yeah. We reinvigorated that phrase. It's got the cattywampus on.
P.S. Did you hear somebody? I was listening to something. Somebody used the word kerfuffle the other day, and I was like, yes.
Awesome.
Starting a trend.
That's right.
Swamp ass.
Swamp ass. Hashtag swamp ass.
Hashtag swamp ass. Swamp ass sharpshooter. Discus swamp ass.
Oh, gross. That's gross.
Gross, gross, gross. Speaking of swamp ass, I was watching Instagram Live today, and
where's this going?
I'll get to the swamp ass part.
Okay.
So it was Braun Strowman. He was off today, and they were out in like a swamp somewhere shooting guns.
Oh yeah.
And he had a special guest with him. Guess who it was?
Pat McAfee.
I'll give you one clue.
Okay.
She's not like most of the girls.
Nia Jax?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, so she came out there with them and they were shooting off their guns and having a good time.
That's fucking cool.
So that was awesome. The two of them were together and having a good time. And I guess Nia had never shot before, but he brought her out there and shot ARs and handguns and stuff.
They would be a cute fucking couple.
Have you seen Braun's? Well, first of all, Nia has a dude.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Braun has a woman.
I didn't know that either.
She looks more like Alexa Bliss than Nia.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
But oh, man.
They seem like a pretty cool like duo. Like I'd love to see them do something like mixed match challenge. Oh. Imagine the two of them taking on the whole world.
The unstoppable or the irresistible force among men and women?
But not like most people.
It's not as cool as
There's not a very good alliteration there.
Team Little Big.
Team Little Big was iconic.
It's the best.
No pun intended. Speaking of iconics, shall we move on to...
Smack.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Good job on your SmackDown. Too sweet.
Too sweet.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. How did SmackDown start?
I
kind of missed. I honestly missed the beginning.
Randy Orton.
That's right. I went back and watched it today on my ride home.
Why does it look like we're drinking ginger ale? Because we are. We don't really drink beer here. We just drink ginger ale.
Yeah.
Canada Dry or Verner's. Whatever.
Fools on, tricks on you.
This is single hop ale from Founders up by you.
Mm-hmm.
Mosaic Promise. Check it out.
Delicious.
It is one of my favorite seasonal beers.
It's glorious.
And it comes in the 15 pack, which makes it even better because it's cheap.
It's cheap and you get a ton of it and get you drunk.
Get you drunk.
Get you drunk.
Get you fucked up.
It's so fucked up.
All right. What'd you think of this Randy Orton promo?
Oh, Randy Orton promo?
Yeah.
You know what? It would have been a little bit better, but the crowd confused me.
What? Wait. Okay, well, take out the crowd.
Okay, take out the crowd. I thought it was incredible. I
thought it was some of his best work.
I loved it. The only reason why I didn't like it as much, it's not Randy Orton, but it was the crowd, because people love this Randy Orton. People are loving
this shit.
He's
getting cheers for being a total asshat.
Right. And then as I'm hearing the promo, though, he's like, you're the reason why I don't get respect. And he's talking to WWE Universe. And they're like, yeah! Like, it was just super confusing listening to the promo. But what everything that he said in the whole thing, I thought it was incredible.
Yeah, the crowd, like, enjoyed him dogging them out. But I just think they want to see... I think the whole thing is you want to see... a Randy Orton that's, like, involved and excited to be there and not just going through the motions.
Yes.
And I felt like we've got him right now. So for however long this goes, where he seems to just be fully in it, you know, it's pretty good.
He said he was willing to do things that would make you want to change the channel.
Dude, the sex bots aren't waiting at all. And they're adding emojis now, too.
What?
Yeah. Immediately after.
They got more intelligent?
Do we have AI sex bots now? Check yourself, gentlemen.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, they're coming for you.
If you're single, be scared. Just saying.
I know, they're views. I appreciate it.
Yeah, take the views all day.
Why do you use his full, like, five-name, real-life, legal government name and drop the F-bomb on him? What's up?
What?
I don't know. Rob was talking about how he hates Orton.
He said
fuck Orton, basically, is what he said.
He hates Randy Orton. He's always hated Randy Orton.
Does he like him more or less than Dean Ambrose is the real question.
I think he hates him more than Dean Ambrose because Randy Orton wears...
I don't know. Is it? I just thought it was.
Let me finish this thought before I lose it. He hates Randy Orton more than Dean Ambrose because Randy Orton wears a sleeveless hoodie.
You know who also wears a sleeveless hoodie?
Rusev Day.
And Pat fucking McAfee.
Well, yeah, because they're both awesome. And so
yeah,
is Randy Orton.
I think you just need to realize that that makes Randy Orton de facto, ipso facto,
mm-hmm.
also awesome.
And you call him RKO.
Yeah.
You call him RKO.
You should just know me by three letters.
The most devastating letters in wrestling history.
The most devastating letters in wrestling. R-K-O.
Mic drop. That was awesome. They had the crowd saying it too, man.
I'd like to get them in a car with Mojo and drive off a cliff in their sleeveless hoodies. On the next episode of Ride Along,
yeah.
Mojo and Randy Orton die a fiery death off a cliff.
While wearing their sleeveless hoodies.
Well, all kidding aside, Rob, this was actually a really good Randy Orton promo. Probably the best Randy we've seen since he almost killed one of the
Singh brothers.
Yeah.
And he was doing that every week after that, which was even better. He's like,
but
whoa,
the first was the best when he did it too hard and he realized, and he was like,
oh, I almost killed the little guy.
Yeah. But this was good.
Yes.
And however long we've got interested, Randy Orton is good. Mm-hmm. So
I'll take it all day.
Next.
Becky Lynch.
Wait, before we get into the match.
Yes.
What do you think about this? Who do you think is going to turn on who first?
Ooh.
Because I'll tell you what I think.
Okay.
I think Becky Lynch is over this shit. She's just being nice.
Yeah. I want to see her, like, beat the shit out of Charlotte.
Yep.
Yes. I hope that's what they do at SummerSlam. I see Charlotte and Becky teaming up against Carmella, because you rarely see a triple threat match with two baby faces and one heel. It's usually always two
feet. Which means what will happen is the heel end up winning because the baby faces will turn on each other.
And she'll slide an opportunity in.
Yep.
I will not be surprised if Carmella wins at SummerSlam.
I could definitely see Becky putting Charlotte in the disarmer.
Mm-hmm.
Only to have, like, Carmella come in,
super kick her,
hit her with
the
belt because there's no disqualification, essentially, right?
Correct.
And then pin her while Charlotte's laying there writhing in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Like some bullshit.
That's exactly how it's going to happen.
I don't even know who that is. I can't read it. Oh, what's up, Chris Rott?
What's up?
Thanks for stopping in.
Appreciate you. You got a beer?
Yeah.
Got a beard? Your positivity.
You can have one of the three or all three. Right, I don't care. Just one of the three.
Yeah, we'll provide the positivity all day long.
Go grab a beer.
Yeah, go get a beer.
Or if you have a beard, even cool too.
Yeah.
Alan.
Hey.
Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi. This beer's good.
It is.
But yeah, I think that's how it will play out at SummerSlam. Carmella's going to get over because Becky and Charlotte are going to be kicking the crap out of each other.
Which is
going
to lead to a nice little feud between Becky and Charlotte, because no more tea time.
Nope, no more tea time.
They're going to have to put away their friendship for a while.
I like how they even, right before this match, Becky Lynch, Charlotte versus the Iconics, they were backstage. You know, Becky saying that she wants to be happy for Charlotte for winning her match last week, but she wanted the spotlight. Right? And then they're like, all right, well, let's not think about that. Let's think about this tag team match tonight. Can we get along? And she's like, of course we get along. We're not Sasha and Bailey.
And they're going to do the exact same thing.
And then they little teacupped.
Teacupped.
They teacupped. Because it's too sweet. match. What do you think about the match?
It was a little bit wonky.
It was.
And I don't know if that's Iconic's fault or Becky and Charlotte, but it did not feel like it was smooth.
It was not smooth.
It was choppy. It was like choppy water. When you're supposed to be skiing on glass.
Yeah.
It was like there was like a 5-mile-an-hour wind and everything was like... It's like everybody was there a little bit late. It was a little weird. I thought the match was booked well. I thought it did well. I just didn't seem like it was... More and more I see Peyton and Billy wrestle, I feel like Billy might be the better wrestler at this point.
You think so? I think Peyton's the better.
It was... Peyton did not look good in this
when
match.
They're in singles. When they're
in Billy
singles.
Billy has been pretty solid.
Yeah.
I have to say, I was expecting Billy to be the weak link, and then Peyton got in the ring, and I was like, what the fuck?
Do you think that the Iconics making fun of reenacting like their opponents as they walk down to the ring, do you think that gets old and tiring, or is it still pretty?
I think it's fine. I like that the crowd responds to it, and then the baby faces get a chance to be like, listen to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for now it works. I think at some point they're going to have to switch it up.
Yeah, agreed.
I think it's hilarious, but I know a lot of the crowd's just like, this is stupid.
I like it. It's just, it's when they're doing the same thing over and over and over again that it gets a little daunting.
I think it gives an opportunity for the crowd to like turn on them, which is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's effective right now. Will it continue to be effective? I think once the crowd, if they're quiet, that's when you know it's time to switch something up.
Agreed. Who won that match? It was baby faces.
Yeah, of course. Becky and Charlotte won. Charlotte put her in the figure eight.
That's right, yeah, with from a tag-in.
Yeah, because Becky had Peyton in the disarmer, and she was going to tap, and Billy came in last second, saved her, and then that led to the finish, which Charlotte getting the figure eight and winning the match.
They're hugging, they're best friends still.
And then they got to the back. And it was like, all right, friendship's over for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it, like, Becky had that look about her all night, like she was like uneasy about it. Let's talk about it right now.
Speaking of which, yeah.
AJ Styles comes out to talk about Samoa Joe's promo from last week.
I love AJ Styles, but he did not touch Samoa Joe's promo from last week.
But see, I would say the weakest part about AJ Styles is his promo.
Yes.
But his promo this week was good.
It was good, yeah.
Samoa Joe's last week was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought AJ's was successful this week. And in fact, when he does a successful promo, I feel like that's a good thing because we know what we're going to get in the ring.
Fire.
Yeah. And yeah. I thought he showed emotion. It was impassioned. It felt heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best we can ask for him because I know he's not going to cut a promo like Samoa Joe. He's not going to cut a promo like Miz.
Yeah.
Or even Daniel Bryan. I mean, but that's not his best suit. But I thought he did a good enough job that he stays on top. They're like, oh, yeah, he is the guy that is giving everything up to make a better life for his kids.
Yeah.
Which is like a spin of what Joe said last week, which they're all kind of half-truths.
Yes.
Which leads to a really good feud, and I'm super stoked for this match.
Me too.
Out of all the matches, is the one I'm most excited for, I think, at SummerSlam.
Agreed. Right there with you.
Any chance Joe is actually going to win? We'll get to our predictions, but yeah, you're absolutely, there's a good chance he can win.
It's a hell of a good chance he's going to win.
I did not see Lana versus Zelina Vega. I missed it.
All you got to do is watch last week. It was the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Only Rusev went out with Lana this time. Because
instead of
nobody. Last week she came out by herself. This week he came out with her because of what happened last week with Aiden English. Aiden even was backstage, apologized and said, "Hey, I'm so sorry, guys. Can you forgive me?" Rusev shook his hand. He forgave him. You're like, all right, let's see what happens. Same match happens. Andrade gets on the ring apron. So Rusev comes around. He starts fighting him on the outside. And Lana's going up to the top rope. Aiden English comes down to help Rusev beat up Andrade. He pushes Andrade into the ring post. Into Lana. Lana flips over the top rope, lands on the ground, and Zelina Vega gets the win. 1-2-3. And Aiden looks horrified, which he should be because he's ruined every match that he's... Did he just not pay attention to what happened in the last 4 weeks, Aiden?
I just feel like this is...
They're forcing the
breakup. I wish they wouldn't have broken him so soon, but it's coming. Just got to accept it.
Yeah. But I do like seeing Zelina wrestle and Lana wrestle.
I mean, they're both super attractive and both like good heels, kind of.
Well, and I like seeing Lana's in-ring work get better and better every week.
It's way better than it used to be.
Absolutely.
She's thoroughly improved.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Maria Kanellis broke her wrist today.
While training, yes.
At the PC.
Mm-hmm.
She's out another 6 weeks. She's like, yeah, I'm out 6 weeks, but I still got time to make Evolution. So...
Yeah, that's got to be the most important thing on
it. Yeah, because I guess she's been hitting hard, trying to get back into shape.
Yeah.
And broke her fucking wrist, dude. That's brutal.
That sucks. Yeah. Get better, Maria.
So, yeah, get well soon. Who doesn't like seeing Zelina anything? You are absolutely correct about that, Rob. Zelina's a national treasure.
Yes.
Puerto Rican American. Mm. Gotta love her.
Mm.
Is she from the Bronx?
Probably. I would not put that
past down Bronx. She's from New York somewhere. I'm not sure which borough, but
yeah.
Don't want to offend anybody from New York because I just don't know enough.
You don't?
Learn about Brooklyn pretty soon.
Yeah, we can't offend people before
next
we go
Friday.
There.
Heyo.
Yep, buddy. With those road trip episodes, it's gonna be fantastic.
Yep. I don't know if Fred's ready for us.
I think he might be more ready than he's willing to let on.
He might think he's ready.
He's probably been hyping up for this since day one is H.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I just want to feed him really good craft beer and give him a better appreciation.
He's going to be so shit-faced if we feed him a bunch of craft beer. I don't think he'll be ready for it. Craig's going to NXT. I don't know if we're going to see him before. But we're literally driving out Friday, going to Brooklyn Saturday, and then driving home Sunday. So
yeah, I'm like 99.
See you, Chris. Thanks, man.
See you, buddy. I'm like 99.99% sure Craig is going to be there.
So. Good.
But I know we're crouching.
Should be the Adventures of Wretched and Smart Spot.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be great. Yeah, we got to do a show. We got to record a show over there.
Well, hey, Rob, since you're on tonight, let's figure something out later in the year. Midwestern, make those New York assholes drive to us,
right?
And we can do something either in Ohio or Michigan or whatever.
Let's go to the dunes.
I want to go like a wrestling based thing.
Oh,
let's go to the dunes, dude. But yeah, let's figure out something. You know, maybe not this year, but maybe for the next calendar year,
like a Chicago show.
Yeah, or something in Indy or something in Detroit where we could host you guys. Or vice versa.
Yeah.
And then maybe we get Cliff's ass to get out of Hotlanta for a minute and either go home or come up here. I know it's tough because he's so busy, but...
Yeah, he's always working on projects.
He's killing it. Killing in the movie biz.
Hollywood.
Hollywood via Georgia. But Georgia's like where everything's filmed now.
I know, right?
All the Marvel movies.
Walking Dead.
My wife's been watching Vampire Diaries. That's all done in Georgia.
Gross. I'm not gonna. I'm not judging her.
I was gonna say it's CW as fuck, but it's okay. We always joke. We always like it's so CW.
It's so CW. It's that other show on CW that's like a. It's like based on that comic book.
There's the Flash. There's Arrow.
Not those comic books.
There's Black Lightning.
I'm talking about comic books from the newspaper.
Archie.
Yes, Archie.
Smallville.
What's it called?
Riverdale. Yeah. My wife watches that too.
That shit CW as fuck too.
Yeah.
Hashtag CW as fuck.
Yeah. It's like all emo like Archie and Jughead.
But it's kind of addictive if you start watching
it. No, like, they're all those shows are like that. Like
they're good.
Yeah, we started watching that original show and then she got into Vampire Diaries and she's been like binge watching that. A lot of people say Black Lightning's awesome and I have not checked it out. So I think I'm going to, because I gave up on Arrow. And Flash this year.
I said
goodbye and walked away from it. But everybody says Black Lightning is like incredible. So I think I'm going to check it out.
Nice.
And totally went off the rails from wrestling. So
a little bit.
Yeah. It's all right. Let's come on back to the thing that always keeps us fed and in love, The Miz.
Love The Miz.
Dude, he's so fucking good.
Killed it again this week.
Every single time he's on the mic, every time we see him. Byron Saxton.
David Otunga.
David Otunga. In this exclusive interview with the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, The Miz.
You know what? I got to give it to Byron Saxton, though. He did a hell of a good job during the interview. Yes. I like that. He asked a hard-hitting question, like, right at the end. Oh, I can't even remember what it was, but I just remember looking at him going, oh, Byron! Byron, you got balls, bro? And then The Miz just went on. He got the look in his eyes, the big beady eyes, like, Daniel Bryan wouldn't be anything without me. He wants this match for relevancy. Loved it. It was incredible.
And he asked him why he wasn't in the ring is because he was afraid of Daniel Bryan. And then as he's saying all these horrible things about Daniel Bryan, who shows up to the set of The Miz and Mrs.?
Daniel Bryan
proceeds to beat the shit out of everybody. And as he's beating up the last security guard, Miz hits him with a freaking glass vase full of roses.
That was awesome.
And puts him down, which was great. And continues this whole beef up, which we're all super excited for. I mean, I literally want this to go until WrestleMania.
I do too.
With whoever coming out of WrestleMania is the world champion.
And what I'm hoping is that they film it. They keep filming The Miz and Mrs. while this rivalry is going on, and it makes it to next season, and they actually put the storyline into The Miz and Mrs. reality show. Yeah.
I was watching a little shoot video where it talked about, like, they really don't like each other in real life. He's like, it makes it tough because they work together so tight.
Mm-hmm.
But they're two like polar opposite human beings. Like worldviews are totally different. Like they don't really actually get along, which makes for great wrestling. But like working together is tough. But like I don't think either one of them likes the other one very much.
That's sad.
No, but it's kind of like Sasha and Alexa. They had that great feud because they actually don't like each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
I definitely think he's going to re-sign. What the hell is he going to go do? Go over to Japan when he has a newborn at home? I mean, I was reading a thread on Reddit about this, and it's like, oh, well, they work a less schedule. Daniel Bryan's going to stay where at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, he's not going to leave WWE.
He's going to get another heavyweight run, mm-hmm. and it's guaranteed.
I think that's the only way they'll keep him.
I don't think he cares. I think he just wants to wrestle again.
Yeah.
I don't see him going anywhere. I think him leaving would be a step down for him. As much as anybody, New Japan, Indie, Ring of Honor wants to admit, like, if Daniel Bryan leaves WWE, it'd be a step down from what he was doing.
Agreed.
Granted, it's not always the best wrestling. You know, you see great wrestling in other wrestling divisions or, you know, I don't know what you call them.
Promotions?
Promotions. Thank you. I was going to say leagues of something stupid like that. Probably because he's trying to get the most money he can get. This might be his last big... this might be his last big...
Like hoorah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like any hardcore... Yeah, exactly. You say that because everybody's like, oh, then why aren't the Young Bucks in the WWE? Because the WWE hasn't signed the Young Bucks yet. The moment they call, even though the Young Bucks talk a lot of shit like they don't want to be in the WWE, WWE calls and, hey, you want to be a part of the WWE? They're going to fucking sign immediately.
Because that money's going to be huge.
Yeah. So, yeah, he'll get what he wants. He's just holding out to get what he wants. I mean, this is strategery,
mm-hmm.
as George W. Bush would say. Strategery.
Strategery.
He's working on his best life, and he'll get it, and he deserves it, and
mm-hmm.
can't wait to see it happen.
It's gonna be awesome.
Can't wait to see Daniel Bryan on the top of the mountaintop, just pointing higher than everybody else.
He's gonna be crying, Breeze crying, gonna come down with Birdie,
spit all in his beard, yep. snot all in his mustache.
Yeah,
Birdie just smiling,
vegan confetti flying everywhere, and
faux turkey just everywhere.
It'll be a good day in wrestling.
Throwing vegetables at him, but not in like the bad way like you used to do with like people, comedians.
Like tomatoes
you didn't
like. And shit.
Yeah, but not tomatoes. It'd be like broccoli and stuff like that.
With the organic
like the purple,
still on
like
them.
The purple cauliflower.
It'll be raining kale.
It's raining kale. Hallelujah.
It's raining kale. What are we talking about?
R-Truth and Shinsuke Nakamura.
R-Truth. Oh, I know what I gotta do. I want to fight you for the U.S. title, but first I gotta pin Carmella.
Yeah, what was that all about?
I have no idea.
I saw it on Instagram earlier, and I was like,
I don't think anyone knew what he was talking about.
They did like a tale of the tape to like list him. The only reason I saw is because we follow Carmella on her Instagram account. Mm-hmm. She was like, psh, I'm 121 because it said weight, and it was like rude because it asked her weight because you know asking a female her weight's rude, but you know a professional athlete. God
yeah.
forbid.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's not rude. I weigh 121. I was like, good for you, Carmella. I can't believe she weighs 121. She doesn't look like she weighs 121.
No, she doesn't. She looks like she weighs 90 pounds.
But all those women are in the gym all the time, so they got like that lean muscle. So.
Mm-hmm.
That lean muscle.
Lean.
She's been a dancer forever, so she's strong.
Yeah.
She's strong.
But this led to R-Truth versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this match.
Well, I just love the lead up to it. I love that they're like letting R-Truth do his full rap song.
Yeah, just let him do his whole thing.
Yeah. They introduced Shinsuke first.
Yeah.
That's always so weird to me.
It is.
Champion should be able to always come out last.
Champion should always be last. But
it wasn't a championship match, so yeah. I guess that's okay.
Yeah. Shinsuke won, of course, with a nasty Kinshasa. The new American pastime. New American pastime, according to Corey Graves.
Is the Kinshasa?
Yes.
If I saw Corey Graves in a dark corner, dark alley, I'd give him a Kinshasa.
I'd give him
right in his Pidgeotto head face.
It's Pidgeotto.
Pidgeotto, whatever. Fucking Pokemon, bitch.
It's awesome. Some people weren't really excited about seeing this matchup because they're like,
yeah,
why?
But at least we didn't get like a
beatdown of Jeff Hardy.
Episode 365 of the U.S. title match versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Jeff Hardy like we're getting with Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler, aka and Drew McIntyre, and whoever else we want to throw in the mix this week,
right?
Which I'm fine with.
I'm okay with. I wanted to see Shinsuke beat down
let
somebody.
The champ,
and it was
let the champion play a like fight a legit jobber, which R-Truth is a jobber, really entertaining jobber.
He's incredible in the ring.
Yes,
he doesn't get enough credit for being. He's pretty damn good.
I mean, he's been wrestling for like 30 years or something like that. Yeah, right. Like 65 or something.
Yeah, black don't crack, bro.
It does not, evidently.
This was kind of strange to me.
Talk about this because I got to pee.
All right. So next we find out the Bludgeon Brothers are in a match. In a 2-on-3 handicap match against, what are their names? I'm sure they have them in here. A 3-on-2 handicap match. Their opponents were Julio Rivera, Pavel Kozlov, and Akila Lee. Yeah. Yeah. And they're all really short, stubby dudes. This is just another place to show off the Bludgeon Brothers because they're so dominant. It's just hard for me as, you know, we watch wrestling every single week. It's hard for me to see champions go up against jobbers. That just didn't make any sense to me. The Bludgeon Brothers, just, I love these guys. And I think they're nasty in the ring. Their moveset is very different than any of the other tag teams in the division right now, but did we need to see them go up against jobbers in 2.5-3 minutes? I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, it was entertaining. I just don't see why we needed it. I would have much preferred them beating the crap out of somebody, but we got to see them wrestle, and they were jobbers, and it was weird. And now we're at the main event. We're at the main event of SmackDown.
Main event.
What'd you think of that squash match real quick before we move on?
I didn't watch that one, actually.
Okay, good. You didn't miss anything.
I was I missed those two matches for some reason, so.
Okay. Did you see the main event?
I certainly did see the main event.
What were your thoughts about the main event?
I fucking love the New Day. They're my favorite thing about wrestling right now.
I love the Bar and the New Day.
New Day is bae.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would honestly have preferred to see the Bar win just because we haven't seen the Bar face off against the Bludgeon Brothers.
We're getting New Day champs at SummerSlam, bro.
That's the positive. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm very okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that. But what does that do to the Bludgeon Brothers?
I think the New Day win by shenanigans, which is good.
Just like they have in the past?
Yeah. Why not? The three of them versus everybody else.
Yeah. And they're trying to be five-time champions. Five-time.
Oh, Brooklyn!
No.
Debbie Sauer.
Sleep to Brooklyn.
Big E is a national treasure.
Yes, he truly, truly
he
is.
He did the big splash off the ring apron.
And then missed, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he took a bump hard. He took a lot of... It's weird seeing a man of that stature be put into the one, not only the crippler crossface, but a sharpshooter. Like, to see his body twerk like that.
And then he literally lifted Cesaro like a rag doll, threw him in, and then did the...
the midnight hour. Yeah.
Quick story about Big E. Mm-hmm. I guess he went to college in Iowa.
Okay.
Played with Pat Angerer. Pat Angerer was on the Pat McAfee show today.
Okay.
And they briefly were at the very end of the interview, we're talking about, and he was like, yeah. He's like, I went to, first day I go into the weight room there, and Big E's in there. He looks exactly the same as he looks now. And he's working out with his shirt off. And I walk in and I was like, there's no fucking way I'm making this team. I should just quit right now. It's like, I guess like he had a bunch of injuries and couldn't continue playing football. And he's like, I think it's just because he's so big.
Yeah.
But he guess he played DN. Can you imagine a guy like,
what?
Big E with pads on?
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah, he just kept getting, like, these injuries that kept him from being a football player.
That's crazy.
So it's like he's tailor-made to be a wrestler.
Yeah, he's a huge dude.
He's a huge human
muscle.
Being.
All muscle. Yeah. Scary.
He looks like super strong, but also, like, he might be a fun guy to give a hug to.
Right.
Big E. I believe that. He covered him in maple syrup and went to work.
Ate a whole cafeteria?
Full of kindergartners. Including the kindergartners.
Yes, and their pancakes.
But also, I think the thing that I love the most about the New Day is no matter the trio. I think this is the best way to do it, with Kofi and Big E wrestling and Xavier as the third guy. Not because I think Xavier isn't the best, is the worst wrestler. In fact, I think Xavier is probably more entertaining on some levels than both Big E and...
He's the better hype man.
Yes.
Much better.
He's got the trombone. He's got the gimmick. He's a great hype man. And I think that's his best spot.
Yeah.
Even though he's a great wrestler.
He's a fantastic wrestler.
Yeah.
And but for the dynamic.
Why
of
don't
that,
we see the SOS more often from Kofi Kingston? That's a
sweet move.
Awesome, like, a move that we don't ever see. He pulled it on Cesaro, and I was just like, oh.
Because everyone kicks out of it.
Well, yeah, but it's like the deep six.
Yeah. Oh, it's like the setup.
Yeah, it's a setup move. It's like the zigzag.
What's Kofi's?
It's is it the Trouble in Paradise.
Trouble in Paradise, yeah.
Which he never hits because everybody always dodges it. But.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I thought SmackDown was great this week.
SmackDown's been awesome the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, they're on such a high run right now. And Raw's been a little uneven, but has had really good parts to every Raw. I think that's the thing a lot of people are missing. Look, has there been some subpar Raws? I think you would agree. I think last week was tough. I mean, we trudged through our last podcast last week because we both were like, I didn't get to watch SmackDown last week.
Yeah.
I only watched Raw, and I came in and I was just like, yeah, so we watched wrestling last week and it was okay. And we're trying to be positive. We're the positive podcast and we're going to Brooklyn. But you know, at the same time, it's like, oh, this is tough.
I even named it Low on Positivity.
I know. I was like, ooh. I didn't listen last week. I hope you don't mind.
No, I didn't either. It's okay.
I don't think we got our best downloads probably last week either when you put Low on Positivity.
It actually got like the same amount of downloads. Right. Yeah.
So sorry if you listened to it last week.
We got
to
switch it up every week.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've been on a pretty good run until we had a bad week, kind of like Raw does every other week, but we've had one in a while. So.
Well, I think we're both getting really antsy for Brooklyn, too.
Well, and it is a tough time. This whole lead up to SummerSlam has been kind of brutal to be a wrestling fan. I haven't really paid attention outside of like our own little echo chamber that we talk about, but I kind of delved out of that this week and kind of like looked around and seen there's a lot of negativity out there, as there always is.
It's funny because I noticed that we have a trend, because I will be all up in social media's ass about everything. Last week, though, I took a break. I was like, I'll retweet whatever, but I'm not going to do any crazy posts or even look at what people are saying. So
during
Raw and SmackDown, I stayed off of Twitter the entire week.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter's toxic anyway, but I don't get on Twitter other than the private message to see what the guys write or to say something back.
Yeah.
It's literally the only thing I ever use it for. I just avoid it. I think like Instagram is much more, I feel like
it's not as toxic.
Yeah, it's just a better avenue to like keep up with your people. Like I really enjoyed Twitter when I got on Twitter because of the real-time like news, like to see stuff. Like I follow a lot of European soccer, so like I could catch up on that because there's not a lot of coverage here. I like the political stuff at the time when I was on Twitter heavily, like getting the real-time responses of people. But it is so toxic and so encompassing.
Do you think Twitter is turning into Facebook?
No, I think Facebook is slowly coming back to what Facebook should be, which is like photo sharing and keeping up with family and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the people who post obnoxious like political stuff and things on Facebook, I think people have figured out just to mute them. Like people that I have lots of friends I've just unfollowed so I don't have to see their like stuff. Cause I barely get on Facebook.
That's what the end of my Facebook viewing time, if you will, like turned into. I would unfollow almost everybody because I'm just like, you're an idiot. You're stupid. I love you, but you're an idiot. I don't want to see this anymore. And then it just turned into pages that I liked. It was wrestling, video games, and like nerd memes.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Or like people that you follow that post like fun stuff, like stuff about their kids, stuff about their family.
Yeah.
Stuff about their life. Like what Facebook was supposed to be about, I think, is what I strive to see on my timeline.
Yeah.
And then I love, of course, like, you know, Fail Army.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Stuff that, like, makes me smile.
It's just, for me, I feel like people put too much time and effort into putting their life on social media.
Well, I think you better than me. I'm a very introverted person online, mm-hmm. but an extroverted person in real life.
Yeah.
So, like, I constantly am putting myself out there in real life with my job, with, you know, when I'm, I try to be extroverted out in my regular life, although I aspire to be an introvert and stay in the house if you ask my wife.
Yeah.
But I don't hide myself in real life. I do online, though, because I don't know. It's just not me. I'm not an outgoing online person. I'm the opposite, which I think is the converse of what a lot of people who are very extroverted online are. It's their way to get that out there.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, I'm very introverted in my real life, so I'm going to be a voice online, mm-hmm. which I don't need that because I constantly, you know, I talk to people all day, every day. It's my job. You know, I try to do it in my real life. It's fun to do it like this. This is the only online outlet you can actually see me like talk on a regular basis about.
Right.
But I just don't see the need of putting out my thoughts into the universe so that everybody knows exactly how I feel at that point in time, at that point of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a problem with social media, unfortunately.
It is. And checking in everywhere.
Dude, just chill out. You know, and if you've got a hot take, maybe like think it through for a few minutes. Like, I got plenty of people in my life that I get online and I see some shit they put, and it's just like they don't have any filter before they start typing on their phone.
No, because there's no immediate blowback. I think we've talked about this before.
Well, yeah, it's like a buddy of mine, Chris, at work. Yeah, I don't know if he watches my podcast or not. We've talked about it.
Uh-huh.
But he's like, I feel like people should have to put their real ID up when they post something on, and you go into YouTube comments and you want to read the cesspool of the world, go on Twitter or go into YouTube comments and you're guaranteed to see the worst of the worst of humanity.
Awful.
And if those people had to be some kind of, if they had to be held accountable,
yeah,
and you know who they were, so that, you know, if you ever try to apply for a job and, oh, let's do a social media search of you. Oh, you've said some hateful, racist, sexist stuff for the last 5 years. Well, we're not going to make a mistake and hire you and then fire you later like Disney did to James Gunn. You're fired.
Yeah.
You're not even going to get hired.
Yep.
I think accountability is a good thing at this point, you mm-hmm. know, and I think I'm grateful that I grew up in a time where I was pre-digital.
Yes.
But like also grew up in the digital age, that I can kind of see that. And I think a lot of people that are up to your age and then my age and a little bit older,
yeah,
they kind of see that. It's like, oh, probably don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad for people that don't know anything other than this. And I think, but I think kids now, when I say kids as a fucking old man, 38, but like a lot of the kids, I say young adults now, yeah, are starting to learn this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they've grown up with this non-filter age for so long that it's like, oh, maybe we should, you know, tone this back and go out in the real world and live life. And it's not Instagram pictures, yeah, of my food and my thoughts of the day on Facebook.
Yeah. Or random quotes that make them feel better about their everyday situation.
Mr. Compton, we did not talk about Colt Cabana suing CM Punk because, frankly,
I heard a little bit about it, but I don't give a shit about it.
Well, I agree. I don't give a shit either, and I know nothing about it. So sorry, Mr. Compton. It's not that like I don't give a shit about it because I'd bring it up if I knew anything about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, fuck CM Punk.
Well, do you remember when CM Punk was going through, like, a couple weeks or a month or so ago when he was going through legal battles with a doctor? Colt Cabana had to go to court over that because it was on his podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Right? It all stemmed from that interview he did with him on his podcast.
So now Colt Cabana is suing CM Punk for his court fees. Because he wouldn't have had to gone to court if it wasn't for CM Punk.
Yeah.
So
CM Punk should just fucking pay for it. But CM Punk is the second part of his name, which is Punk, which is a piece of shit. And
yeah.
Good luck in life, dude. Burn all them bridges.
I'm going to say it. I don't care. Cunt Master Punk. Because he's a fucking cunt. I'm sorry.
I'm both still upset about I didn't watch any of that time. And get to see him and actually get a form of positive opinion about him. But I'm also pretty glad that I never had a positive opinion about it because I feel bad for the people that are diehard Punk guys. It's like, you don't see how much of a douchebag asshole this guy is at this point?
And how much he shit all over you for being a fan of his.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for those people because it's like they ride or die CM Punk. Mm-hmm. And then CM Punk let his true colors show that he just realized he wasn't going to give a shit and didn't care about what everybody else.
Yeah.
He didn't realize it was bigger than him.
I've gone back to watch some CM Punk matches because I'm thoroughly curious on why everyone loves, not everyone, but a lot of people love CM Punk. And the match that I went back to watch was John Cena versus CM Punk. I think it's SummerSlam, possibly. It was awful, dude. I think it was the one where CM Punk was leaving with the belt, and it was like a whole thing. Like, he was leaving the company the next day with having the belt or whatever, but
I was SummerSlam like, in L.A.
Yeah, and it's just like, I was not impressed at all.
I've seen some of his matches, and they're fine. Like we just weren't around for that hype time of, like, him being the anti-John Cena. I get it.
Yeah.
But, man, I'm fortunate. I'm happy about, that's the one thing I'm happy about that I didn't watch wrestling at that time, is I didn't have, like, this conflicted opinion about him. It's easy for us to be like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we see it very clearly how he's treated the fans, especially those fans that were, like, down for him. I mean, I'm sure, like, everybody else, you know, like, all the John Cena fanatic kids were always like, whatever.
Oh.
Watch his matches against Joan Ring of Honor.
They were in the WNA second row. In the second... That's awesome. But,
that's incredible.
But then again, it was in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I know he did a lot of, like, you know... before he got to WWE, he was.
Well, I just hope he becomes happy with himself at some point in life. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it would be awesome if he could finally resolve his issues with himself, with WWE, and come some way to, like, wrap this thing in a bow. Because I think it's best for the fans to get like some kind of finalization or some. Not for him, not for WWE, but for the fans. Because I do really feel bad. There's a reason there's CM Punk chants. People are still pissed about it.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, they're always going to blame the big bad guy, which is Vince McMahon at WWE. But it's a two-way street.
Did you see, right after they announced the history-making pay-per-view event that's coming up in October, Evolution?
The all-women's one?
The all-women's one, yeah.
Historic. Yeah. I think I heard something about that.
Super historic. I don't know if you knew that.
A stork?
It's historic. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. It's her story.
It's her story. Anyway, hashtag me too.
Yeah, hashtag me too. Gross. Anyway, they on WWE, they put a poll up asking people what female superstar they would love to see back. The number one vote was AJ Lee. Being CM Punk's wife, do you think she'll come back?
Nope.
It's going to break a lot of hearts.
I don't think she cares. I think that was a chapter in her life and she closed it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a negative thing because I think she left in a good place.
I think so too.
But I think she's stuck in between worlds too. So, like,
yeah.
How could she go back to WWE knowing, like, all the drama that's happened even after she left and retired?
And then she probably still had to hear it after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, she's married the fucking guy. I mean, hopefully they're happy together. I mean, I really honestly don't want him to be in, you know, a sad sack of shit.
No, but, no.
You know, I don't think she comes back.
Yeah, agreed.
Never say never, Rob. Never say never. I mean, if Ultimate Warrior came back, I'm pretty sure CM Punk could come back. Just saying.
Speaking of comebacks, when are we getting Dean Ambrose back? They hinted at it this week. I don't know if you saw that. When they were talking about Seth Rollins finding a tag partner.
Yes.
First thought that came to my head was Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. Well,
first thought.
All of us were hoping and praying except for Rob.
And as soon as that thought came into all of our minds, they showed the stupid graphic of when they don't know who a tag team partner opponent's going to be. And they have that shadowed, like, spiky hair shadow, like, in the background, like, ugh. And Michael Cole goes, well, it's not going to be Dean Ambrose because he's still out with an injury.
Tell him, brother. Yeah. I hope soon. Man.
I say after summer. Like, maybe the Monday night after SummerSlam.
We haven't heard any rumors that he's worked out at the PC or anything, so.
It's Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, but you always hear the shit early. I don't think he's ready.
You usually hear the shit early from people that are super active on social media, and he is nowhere.
He's not. He occasionally shows up on his wife's social media.
He has no
And never page. Tagged.
Never.
Yeah.
So I could see him throwing a
curveball.
You
got to respect that. I don't know how you could hate Dean Ambrose. I know Rob's listening and he hates Dean Ambrose, but I can't figure it out.
I don't get
Is he jealous of Dean Ambrose? I mean, I kind of am.
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, who's he married to?
I mean, the special Raw co-host next week.
Renee.
It would be awesome if he showed up at SummerSlam to support Seth.
That would be awesome.
That would be a good way to introduce him back. You're right about that. Mm-hmm. But definitely be cool to see him come out to Raw. Like another handicap tag match.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh. And then his music hits. It would go fucking ballistic.
Oh, the roof will blow off.
Yeah, I would pop. You would pop. I think even Rob would pop.
Dude, the whole crowd was chanting, "We want Ambrose," during that match. Oh, it was amazing.
Who was the other person you were asking about?
I already forgot.
Sami Zayn. Not anytime
soon.
Oh,
I forgot about Sami Zayn.
Another surgery.
Another one?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, our favorite tag team champion of all time, Jason Jordan. He got cleared in May, by the way. Yeah. So check this out. He got cleared, medically cleared in May, but they didn't know what to do with him, so they pumped the brakes, right? Thank you for doing that, WWE. Come to find out, his neck injury is much worse than what they thought it was going to be, even after surgery. So I think they're putting him back on the shelf.
So he may not be coming back.
Mm-mm. Which is
sad.
That
sucks. Yeah. Sucks for him.
Right?
I mean, maybe not sucks for the rest of us viewing audience, but...
Poor guy.
Yeah, I think that's the only way he comes back, is he comes back with an American Alpha reboot.
It has to be. It's the only time those two were fully popular.
Because Jason Jordan is... Not Jason Jordan.
Chad Gable?
Chad Gable is basically invisible on Raw right now.
Sad. Because that was like... I love that tag team.
It was so good.
They were perfect together.
They're freaking SmackDown tag champs.
Yeah. Yeah. For nothing.
Yep.
Poor guys.
Leo has watched a couple episodes of Miz and Mrs. I have not had an
opportunity.
I watched
all
yet.
Of them.
Have
and
you?
They are fantastic. Please,
what's up, Cretans?
Please go and watch Miz and Mrs. Please. You will thank me later. It is hilarious.
No, we haven't been watching.
What's that?
I mean, is there anything really important to talk about other on NXT other than the title match?
I'm waiting to catch up the go-home show.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the last three episodes. Be ready for next week.
Yeah. I hear Aleister Black might not make it to SummerSlam.
Is he hurt?
Yeah, apparently. I think there's an injury. And they also made a storyline of how he got jumped at Full Sail in the parking lot, and they don't know who it is yet.
Oh, I wonder if it's Johnny. Can they get DIY back together?
Oh, have
Johnny go full
like
heel
DIY?
Well, yeah, because I was watching the intro to this week's NXT, and I didn't get through more than 15 minutes of it.
Uh-huh.
But it was like, you know, Johnny was basically like, I might have deserved the black mask.
He did.
Torn groin.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ouch.
It would be awesome if they turned Johnny heel and got him back with Tommaso Ciampa, and they could be like the best heel tag team.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Because you know they got to turn freaking Undisputed Era babyface at some point.
Yeah, they do.
Or at least tweener.
Mm-hmm. They kind of already are, in a way.
Yeah.
They're booked like heels.
They're over.
They're over. Yeah.
They're over big.
Yeah.
So they can move them babyface.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not like Adam Cole's wrestling anybody anytime soon.
I think Adam Cole might be facing Ricochet at TakeOver.
Why is Dream not wrestling Ricochet again?
Because he's taking on EC3.
I don't care.
I want that match again. Why?
I know. I
want
to see that again.
I'm so excited for TakeOver, dude.
I'm
excited just to be in that different atmospheric crowd.
I'm excited to be at an NXT TakeOver pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I don't care where it's at.
It's our first one.
I know we're going to be at the best show of the weekend.
Yes. It's always the best show of the weekend. Yeah. Always.
We're going to see the best pre-show of the weekend with the best pre-show host.
We have to make a Pat McAfee sign.
Yes, we do.
And tell him say what's up to Smart Spot on live air, please.
He won't.
I know. I'll give him a free Budweiser for 12.
Stone Colds and Budweisers in the arena.
That'd be awesome.
I'll get kicked out. Won't even get to watch NXT TakeOver. Be a good story to tell grandkids.
We're watching it on our phones on the street. We were there.
Shaking a cup, an empty beer cup.
We need gas money to get back to Indianapolis.
We are in the bottom section, kind of.
In front of the pre-show.
What the fuck is a Hoosier anybody? What the fuck is a Hoosier anyway?
You know what? I don't think Hoosiers even know what a Hoosier is.
Hoosier is somebody from Indiana.
Yeah, it's actually the actual story. My phone's dead. Of the term Hoosier, it's some weird, funky story about an ear, like someone's ear.
I don't know. Ear of corn. Corn's a pretty important part of Indiana.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Hoosiers with Gene Hackman?
It's incredible.
I think that's all you got to know about it, buddy.
One of the greatest basketball movies of all time. Minus Space Jam.
It might be.
What's that?
What do they call people from Michigan? Scumbags?
Michiganians? Scumbags is what he said? Damn! Get them!
Just kidding.
Oh.
Hey, show me where you live. Give them a Hoosier behind the back of the barn. What do they call them? Felons?
Felons. Michiganders? Is that what it says?
Lead water drinkers?
Yeah, right? Oh, it's still not fixed.
I can't fucking believe that shit.
I know. It's gross.
Poor
is there anything else wrestling that we want to talk about?
Since we don't know what's going on in NXT, no. I mean, 205 Live, no. NXT.
205 Live championship match at SummerSlam is Drew Gulak versus Alexander.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
God, hopefully Drew Gulak will win.
That'd be amazing. I'll start watching 205
Not that
Live.
It's just Cedric Alexander is not very electric outside
boring,
of the ring.
Boring character.
He's the legitimately like the most boring vanilla character outside of him's ring work.
I feel like Drew Gulak has stepped his game up in the ring a thousandfold.
Did Fred take over your account?
What did he say about shirtless?
He said we should wrestle now, shirtless. And I asked him if Fred took over Rob's account.
We haven't had enough dragon's milk.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we haven't had any dragon's milk.
Oh, my goodness.
Leo Rush is dope.
I love Leo Rush.
And guess who's back? Alexa Bliss's bae.
Murphy?
Yeah, Murphy's back.
Good. Missed that man.
Buddy Murphy's dope.
He's legit, like, the... My favorite and personal, like, love interest in 205 Live. Love that guy. His ring work is just incredible. Rob is drunk, y'all! Do you guys check out MLW Wrestling? I do not check out Major League Wrestling. I hear a lot of good things about it, though. Eat some dragon's milk. And not recording. And he's tapping.
And he's tapping Bliss. Yeah, he is. It was her birthday, so he's giving her some birthday
dates. Oh, yeah. It was her birthday.
Happy birthday, Alexa.
Yeah. I can hear
you. You're the bomb, girl.
I can hear
the
screams from here.
Hey-o.
Get it, Murphy.
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 Do we have anything else before we sign off this bitch?
Only thing I want to keep reiterating is the weekend of SummerSlam is going to be fucking dope.
Yes. We will not be recording at our normal time next week.
Nope.
We will be catching up on some rest because we will be driving to Brooklyn on Friday morning.
No sleep.
So that we can attend to the Saturday night showing of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn Part 4.
Yep. I think that does it for the show. Do you want to do some shout-outs?
Absolutely. First of all, a shout-out, our favorite wrestling website, chairshot.com, hashtag always use your head. Go there for all your up-to-date wrestling news and opinion pieces. They do a fantastic job. You can follow them on all social media platforms, but also on their website. And they also are gracious enough to host our podcast once a week. So,
indeed. Yeah.
So we appreciate those guys very much. But chairshot.com. Mm-hmm.
PWO Good Brothers, as Hell always. Yeah. I'm going to start off with Robin Cliff from WNA Podcast. Thank you for hanging out with us, Rob, even though he's incredibly intoxicated.
It's good to see you back, bud.
Oh, Speez, thanks for this. Were those super hearts, bro?
Super hearts!
Super hearts!
Sweet! Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bro.
But yes, thank you, WNA, for showing up to our show tonight. We also had Wretched Wrestle pop in for a little bit. We will be seeing them next weekend in Brooklyn or Long Island. I think that's where they're
Brocast, Alan and Tom. Alan popped in for a minute tonight. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, he did.
Our homies down under.
Mm-hmm. When are we gonna see? When are we gonna see Boar Meets World ever pop up on you? I'm gonna drive down to Kentucky and find out where they live and just
maybe just. Couldn't hear a pin drop. I don't know. One of these days, they'll pop on.
Yeah, they need to.
Yeah.
Shout them out every week, damn it. Did I miss anybody?
Well, yeah. I mean, Gimmick Table, previously Gimmick Table, now soon to be Bud's Sour. What is it?
Bad Bud's Sour Hour.
Also, which is going to be their new podcast, which will be details to come, but they'll be doing interviews all over the spectrum.
Yep.
But also, you can follow them on twitch.tv, World's Worst Gamers.
Yep.
They play Fortnite, a bunch of other stuff too, mostly Fortnite.
Yes, sir.
And
where can you find our podcast?
Well, you can find our podcast on a couple different platforms, Leo. Most importantly, the most fun one is to chat with us on Periscope every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is H. That means approximately 10 p.m. or thereafter until we run out of time to talk or energy or stuff.
Or beer.
But every Thursday, usually every Thursday, not for the next couple Thursdays, but 10 to usually, I don't know, midnight or so, 12:30, whenever we stop periscoping.
Yeah.
But you can also check us out on the edited, like more production value, fancy version of our podcast, SmarkSpot, on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, now on Spotify. So if you got a Spotify account, please follow us on Spotify and give us a review. We would surely appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
If you ever want to get in touch with us, we're on social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter at SmarkSpot, and also on Facebook, fuck Facebook, SmarkSpot Podcast. If you ever want to email us, SmarkSpot@gmail.com.
I like how we always sneak that in there. Fuck Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, follow us.
Follow us and fuck them. Oh, and by the way, a couple honorary PWO members.
Always.
Our homies at Cretan Guild. Go check them out. They are fantastic and hilarious. And they just did a review show that was like 12 minutes long. One of my favorite podcasts. Of best places to drink at Disney or Universal. Shout out to those guys. They do a fantastic job. They were at one of their best favorite places at the Polynesian.
Yes.
Can't remember the name of the bar right now, but it looks awesome. Polynesian's my favorite place at Disney, so take a listen to them and check that out, especially if you're going to Orlando in the future.
Yes, sir.
Other than that, I'm done. Over. Can't speak anymore. Get the Tables podcast. As always, thanks for stopping in. We appreciate it. Saw you guys on there.
Always.
Those of you that gave us super hearts tonight, God bless you. Thank you. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. At some point in our life, we'd love to... and you know what? We need to get our Smart Spot glasses out to Cretans.
We do. I keep forgetting that. I have their address.
A lot of positive pint chugs coming this week. So if you want to participate and get your own Smart Spot glassware...
Follow us on Instagram.
Yep. And then do a video, chug a beer, and hashtag it positive pint.
Too sweet, guys.
Too sweet. We'll see you next time. Look out for us Friday during the day. If you're bored at work, pop up on your Instagram, Periscope, Twitter. You'll see us.
Because next week, there will be no sleep
till Brooklyn.